Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. We have been doing this now consecutively for about 6 years. We appreciate...
Hasn't been 6 years.
Haven't missed a week.
No?
No, haven't missed... I think Mark's right.
6 years?
Yeah.
Three or four times a week.
Yeah.
Where have you been?
6 years?
Well, yeah. How many podcasts have you missed, man?
Apparently.
We've been doing this for 6 years.
No, okay. You know what? I'm bad. Right. My bad. 6 months.
Yeah, I think that's more like
six months.
Yeah, oh,
I
yeah,
get
yeah,
years
yeah.
and months
okay.
confused.
The calendars are, you know, they're...
I'm going to be 47 months old later this month, in case anybody wants to send me a gift. Or, I mean, years. See, I get it mixed up every time. Anyway, yeah. I'm Mark Cook, along with Scott Reynolds and Trevor Sikkema. We have no intention of talking any football whatsoever. We're just going to tell really bad grandpa.
Well, I'm not listening to
don't
this
get
damn
people
podcast.
To turn
I'm
off the podcast
right
before
now.
We even start.
Calm down, Uncle Stan. We're only 30 seconds into this. We'll get to the football in a little bit.
Uncle Stan shows up every episode, and I've never actually seen him.
No,
he's like
I've,
a ghost.
I've went to lunch with Uncle Stan. He's taking me to lunch. And you would
well,
never
I don't see him.
To
I know. I, I'm just saying, I don't see him
joke.
When he comes in
Take
and speaks
guess
in the mic.
Where Uncle Stan took me.
Golden Corral.
Close.
Cracker Barrel.
Close.
I don't.
IHOP.
Friendlies.
IHOP.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
Friendlies. Good call. We had a cup of ice cream afterwards. We went to IHOP, and yeah, he told us everything that sucked about Pewter Report. But anyway, love Uncle Stan, one of the old timers, the long timers, and one of our biggest supporters. But anyway, he just unfortunately he wanders into this podcast room at least once a week and just interrupts us. But anyway, we've got him out, and we've got him gagged and bound, and he won't interrupt us anymore this show. Anyway, Buccaneers rebounding from a tough loss last Thursday night. It seems like a long time ago since they played football, but it was nice to have a little break this weekend.
It was almost a week.
It was a mini bye week.
Yeah, mini bye week. Buccaneers had, Saturday, Sunday, Monday off. Didn't have to come until late on Tuesday.
And it worked wonders because we just saw Lavonte David, Quan Alexander, T.J. Ward, and Keith Tandy all out there on the practice field participating.
Yeah, was DeSean Jackson out there participating?
He was.
Yes.
That's a good sign, too. And we had some questions about his health after Thursday night where he was banged up on that final drive. Okay, we did our midseason – or our quarter season report card on the offense and defense.
People were mad that we didn't give everybody Fs.
Yeah, I know. But you know what?
This team's 2-2.
Yeah, I know.
Not 0-4.
These are pretty good grades for a 2-2 football team, though. I mean, based on our grades, when you look back on it – and when I say that, I don't think that our grades are inaccurate, but I think it just goes to show you how this team has underachieved a little bit this year. Two losses. You know, the Vikings game, you just kind of have to chalk that up as one of those games that teams have every year.
I mean, you're playing Case Keenum. What are you going to do?
Well,
right? I mean,
true.
He's the GOAT.
Yeah.
I think that was one of those games where talent-wise, the Buccaneers are as good, if not slightly better, than the Vikings. It's just that the Vikings outplayed the Buccaneers that game.
Yeah, and they were outcoached and everything else. And the Bucs had a lot of injuries. But,
you
know, Tampa Bay was able to fight hard against New England, and there's no moral victories. I mean, this team was genuinely disappointed Thursday night after that game, and we talked about it on the last podcast. But, you know, being in the locker room the last couple days, I don't see any hangover effect from this football team. I think they, you know, look like they're all well-rested, certainly by the amount of players back out on the practice field.
You know who else was out there?
Me.
Patrick Murray was out there.
Who's that?
He's the new kicker for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The old kicker. The kicker from 2014.
I should have brought back Neil O'Donoghue from the 70s.
I don't think his leg's working
He's
anymore.
Irish, too, you know.
Well, yeah. But is he 5'6"?
No, but he is 64.
Okay.
If he's still alive. I don't even know.
Wait,
if
Pat
Neil O'Donoghue
five
is still
six?
Out there, please contact Mark at PewterReport.com. I'd like to do a story on you.
I think he's 5'7". He's 5'6".
Yeah.
So he's Tampa's Darren Sproles.
Yeah, but not as agile.
Oh, you don't know that.
We
not,
don't know
you
that.
Not quite
that.
The playmaker.
We
no.
don't know that.
You know what?
Couple
Patrick,
running
Darren
backs.
Sproles
couple
is
running
on
backs
reserve
good.
Right now. I would take Patrick Murray in a race right now against Sproles, right?
Well, he has a torn ACL, so
yeah.
Yeah.
And a broken arm.
You know what? I'd probably still take Sproles.
Oh, well, here's the thing, too. What I've always loved about Pat Murray is yeah, he wants to kick field goals. He wants to kick game winners. What kicker doesn't, right? He wants to make a tackle. That's what he wants to do because he has roots with his Irish heritage.
He was a Viking, right?
No.
No?
He's Irish. He's not Scandinavian.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He was an Irish Viking.
No.
No?
No.
Oh,
is that a thing?
He played a flute and led rats around.
No, that's the Pied Piper.
He has a cereal named after him.
No, he actually has an uncle who plays like Gaelic football,
right?
Which is like rugby. And the dude wants to go down there and make a tackle.
Why don't they just call it rugby then?
It's, you know, why do we call it football when soccer people call it football instead of soccer, which is it's what it is. It's soccer.
When I saw Pat for the first time yesterday, I walked up and gave him a hug and said, "Throw another shrimp on the barbie, Irishman," because he's Irish and they're
Irish is like
that's not
Guinness.
Where they got sharks and kangaroos and
like the book?
Bingos?
No, like Guinness, like the beer, like frothy.
Yeah, like the first Bible
ale.
Book in the Bible, Guinness.
It's Genesis.
Oh.
Not, you are on
not
fire
to be confused,
right now.
Band,
you are on
not
fire.
Not to be confused with the band.
This wordplay is unbelievable.
Peter Gabriel and Phil Collins.
Listeners better appreciate this crap. That was good.
I guarantee you people are just clicking it off right now. They're like, what is this nonsense?
No, we're going to get us some
Cook
football.
Is out of control.
I'm trying to bring it back to football.
I always like to do that. Just watch Scott squirm over there. I just keep going farther and farther away. And he just keeps trying to segue it back, and I just won't allow it sometimes.
Just like the NFL is trying to bring it back to football. We're trying to bring it back to football.
Right. I just want everybody to know that all three of us were standing for the national anthem on Thursday night.
Absolutely.
You know, for sure.
Absolutely.
And, all right, so we're going to bring it back to football now. Wait a second. Irish Gaelic football, you say it's rugby. Why, again, I'm confused.
I'm with you. Call it rugby if you want, if that helps.
Yeah.
Okay? Let's I'm just telling you what it's
when
called.
When these Irish think they have Irish privilege and they can just rename sports?
Why do South Americans call it football when it's clearly soccer?
Yeah.
Even the Europeans call it football. It's soccer.
Yeah.
Soccer.
That no one cares about. United States national team. Trinidad, we'll see you. You can watch
Trabago.
The game with us in the sports bars next summer because you're not in the World Cup.
Yeah, who cares?
Wait a second. I do care, actually. Who do they lose to? Trevor would know this.
It's Trinidad Tobago. And Trabago. Trabago?
Mm. I'm just disappointed because, like, the World Cup watch parties that you get to go to are some of the best.
What? Who's the U.S. men's national coach?
All people do is drink. And
didn't they fire Klinsmann?
Yeah, so.
That's what you get.
Bruce Arena, I think, is his name. And like
Bruce Arians.
Yeah,
he's
Bruce
the
Arians.
Cardinals coach.
No, but he's both.
Yeah, he does both.
Yeah, he does
really?
Both. That's why, like, he
well, maybe
flew
that's
back
why the Cardinals
today.
Are underachieving
right.
this year.
What
maybe
is the Cardinals' record this year?
2-2
2-2
I think.
No, 2-3
Yeah. And,
oh,
and
right.
The
sorry.
Bucks have played
yeah.
And they've looked awful in games. Yet, does any of us sit here and say to ourselves, this is a, oh, the
no.
Bucks have this easy?
No.
Hey, when you get your ass whipped 40-7, like the Bucks had theirs whipped in week two of
Please
last
watch
year.
Watch your language. Yeah, go ahead.
It was an ass whipping.
Watch your profanity.
Ooh, wow, you said
if it's like 28-7, that's a butt whipping.
Right.
But this was an ass whipping.
Okay.
Wow. Fair
40-7 Yeah.
Fair enough. But I don't, you know, I don't have a, you look at the talent on the roster. There's a lot of talent on that team over there in Arizona. They are underachieving.
Patrick Peterson, Chandler Jones.
Tyrone Mathieu, the Honey Badger.
Mm-hmm.
Carson Palmer, who will, if you give him Case Keenum-like time, will pick you apart.
They have a ton of passing success. Yeah,
they have
this is
Larry Fitzgerald.
This is not
a
team
that's
like, oh, they're below 500. You get to sleep on them. Right. I mean, it's in Arizona. You're going across the country. This is a team that obviously put a whooping on you last year, so they know how to beat you.
Tampa Bay is going to have to put some pressure on Carson Palmer. You made a good point. If you give him all day, he will pick you apart.
Those veteran quarterbacks, they just from the shoulders up can beat football teams if they don't get pressure. And again, there's weapons for the Cardinals offensively. Granted, their top running back, who was the number one pick in most fantasy drafts, broke his
David
wrist.
David Johnson.
That hurts a little bit, but there's still a pretty potent offense led by a veteran quarterback, and that's not a recipe for success with the Buccaneers recently.
Well, they subbed out the number one fantasy pick this year for the number one fantasy pick back in like 2009.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Adrian Peterson.
He's scheduled to start. I think, and Arians
why
was on
not?
A call earlier today.
Yeah, why not?
The media talked to him, and we asked him about Peterson. He said, Peterson's been playing our style of offense for years now. It's just a matter of him getting the terminology. So to me, that just says that, and especially in the haste that they released Chris Johnson.
Yeah.
I mean, that just tells me Peterson's going to start for this.
Speaking
season.
Of ass weapons, Adrian Peterson can put up a pretty good ass weapon.
So I've heard.
No comment.
Yeah. I've heard about that.
I saw the picture.
I'll say this, though. When you look at Adrian Peterson, and I remember when LeGarrette Blount was here in Tampa, and I have this on very good authority, that he did not know the playbook. Even when he got a 1,000-yard season, he didn't know the playbook.
Yeah, 3 years in, he wasn't sure of the playbook.
And
he also didn't know how to get
what
one back
Josh Freeman had to do was he had to – he would – Freeman would bark out the play call in the huddle, and then as the huddle was being broken, he would look over to
LeGarrette
and either point to the hole or tell him which hole to run through. So
you're telling me that Josh Freeman
At one point in time, Freeman was actually in command of the playbook. That was not in It was not in the 2013 season.
Not in Charles America.
Listen, this is what they did. I have this on good authority that just like when you play, you know, the afternoon after Thanksgiving dinner in the backyard, and
after
it's three on three. Oh yeah, you always play after when you're feeling real sick and you
what?
Puke.
You vomit.
You have dinner like at one, like noon, 1 o'clock.
You watch a little football.
What are you talking about?
What do you have dinner?
When do you have Thanksgiving dinner?
At like 4 or 5.
What?
No.
We got a football
on dinner, at that point.
No, you gotta play football before then.
No.
What are you playing at 1 for?
Because that's when the NFL kicks off at 1 o'clock.
Yeah. You eat, then you watch football, then you wake up from your turkey coma
and you
play
go play
some
football till dark. It's not the way you guys do it.
Golly, these young whippersnappers.
But my point is, okay, so you're out in the yard, in the backyard, or in my case, in Pinecrest, in the cow pasture, literally. And remember when you would go up and you would, like, draw the play on the guy's back? Okay, you're going to go up.
Yes.
You're going to go over here. Yep. And that's exactly what Josh Freeman was basically doing to LeGarrette Blount
right.
back then.
And what I'm saying is, to bring it back around to the Cardinals, Carson Palmer in the huddle can sit there and basically wink and nod and say, you're hitting this hole on this play, Adrian, since you've only been here for 4 days.
Sure.
Now, here's the question. Is it the 2.9 yard in average Adrian Peterson since he's come back from his injury a couple years ago, or is it – you know, the guy who was the MVP of the league and one of the top running backs, who I believe, doesn't he hold the single-season rushing record?
Listen, in my 24 years of covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I've seen Vinny Testaverde come off the couch and play for the New York Jets and beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah.
A good Tony Dungy, Monty Kiffin Buccaneer defense. I've seen Case Keenum go 3-0 against the Buccaneers. For whatever reason...
Hall of Famer.
This is a franchise that allows some unconscionable things to happen to it. And I'm not saying that's going to happen, but if Adrian Peterson went off for 130 yards rushing in this game, I wouldn't be shocked or surprised by it.
Well, they should be mad.
I don't think that's going to happen.
They should be mad.
I'm not expecting that to happen.
Right.
But if it does happen, I'd just say, well, there's Buccaneers.
Well, I'm more concerned about
and how many the passing attack. Of you fans listening right now are nodding your head going, you're damn right.
They can't respond to you.
Yeah, they're not nodding
I'm not
heads.
Seeing them nod it's their heads, but they're listening to this.
Does anybody nod their head when they're listening to a podcast?
Reynolds is right.
What?
Do you ever nod your head when you listen to a podcast?
I do.
I sometimes like yell at the radio.
What am I saying?
You yell at the radio or
I
you yo at the
to
radio?
Podcast,
you go like yo or do you yell at it?
I guess both, you know? Like if they make a good point or if, you know, they roast somebody.
Right.
My biggest concern, again, is the passing attack. We saw Carson Palmer eat this team up last year because there was zero pass rush. Robert Ayers went down in the game.
Yeah.
I think Noah Spence had a sack in the game, maybe. But that was about it as far as pressure goes last year on Carson Palmer. And, again, if you give a veteran guy that much time. And, listen, a lot's going to depend on exactly how Mike Smith has his cornerbacks playing. Obviously, having Brent Grimes helps. Brent didn't have a great game against Arizona last year.
Right.
Vernon Hargraves probably had a worse game. Chris Conte did not have a good game. Those three guys are going to be out there again.
Yeah, no.
And but now let me ask you this. Quan Alexander back,
yes.
Probably.
Yep.
Well,
I would think so.
He starts.
Him and David
do you
Brown
put Kendall Beckwith on the bench?
What do you do with Kendall?
Kendall's going to go over to Sam.
If you're a nickel, you absolutely put him on the bench.
Or I would not be surprised if they do some rotating to help Quan a little bit and ease him back rather than saying, Quan, I know you just came off that hamstring injury. You haven't played football in, you know, going on a month. We're going to give you, you know, 65, 70 snaps. I don't know if that's the most wise thing.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think you can do that with some positions, but I think with linebacker, it's like, all right, you're healthy enough to play or you're not.
Did Kendall Beckwith play good enough against Minnesota and the Patriots for the Bucs to win?
I don't think the game was all on him.
I don't think any of it was on him, to be honest with you.
I think he played pretty well.
Which game? Maybe more so
the
Minnesota,
Minnesota
game.
Yeah, that was.
There were times where, you know, a more experienced person in coverage would have had a player that was doing a crossing route or recognized something.
Yeah,
quicker.
That's true, especially in the Minnesota game. Good point.
Yeah,
that was a second star. I mean,
right?
First star.
No, and I mean, like, for a rookie, I don't mean to take anything away from him. For a rookie, he's been great. I'm just saying, like, if you compare him to say like a more veteran linebacker, or if you look at things as black and white as, hey, was this play on him? yeah, it was. It's hard to, you know, hold that to a rookie standard. But if you're, I mean, if we're being honest, some of the plays were
But where does Kwon struggle? Has he struggled the most in his first couple years in the league?
Coverage, well, for sure.
Yeah, but I think
but, I mean,
he's
not like Beckwith's,
he's working on that.
Yeah.
I mean, he's averaging one interception a quarter, so
I wonder
that's
if
pretty
damn
good.
Good
point. That's
I wonder
pretty damn good.
Yeah,
so he should
right.
have four this game.
Is it one interception per drive, or did he play a second drive? I don't remember.
I'm going to go with quarter just to be on the safe side.
Yeah.
But listen, hold on. Here, we got to talk about what we learned in the locker room today. Now, I want you to get to the point with what Mike Smith said about how those corners played. But I learned something very interesting today. I talked to Anthony Autler, the Canadian tight end on this team, who was active for the
first
time.
What do they call football up there?
Football, because he's from
football,
South America.
No, football, eh?
French Canadian is.
All
right.
Football,
it's in South America, right?
And he was in, he got his first action in the NFL. He was active for that game, and he got in on his first play.
Congrats.
Yeah.
On offense.
Yeah.
On Doug Martin's one-yard touchdown.
Yeah. You take that,
and that's
Patriots.
The only play that he was in for. So, you know, I'm going with Autler when he says, hey, I'm one for one. And maybe that's the whole key. Maybe that's what Dirt
Actually,
Cutter
what
has
he
to realize.
Said is I'm uno for uno.
Well, no, that's not
that's
what
not
he
said. French-Canadian?
No.
Okay.
But he's on to something
Canadian.
Here. If you want touchdowns, you put a player in the game.
Yes, you
gotta
do
it.
Is all I'm saying.
Gotta do it.
So, Trevor, Mike Smith raised your eyebrows a little bit today in the press conference.
By the way, you could stand to trim those things, but go ahead.
Wow, that was a blindside hit.
I just slipped
out. Wow, all right. Oh, jeez. I am hurt.
Listen, Larry Hagman, keep talking.
Anthony Davis, is that next?
Yes.
I'm just going to brand me in around. Just gonna, so anyways, Mike Smith was at the podium earlier this morning, and he was talking about the defense. And one of the questions that, you know, he was asked about the pass rush. He was asked about, you know, the Cardinals, all this, blah, blah, blah. And then he was kind of asked about Vernon Hargraves and the corners and just kind of what it's been like for them during the year and specifically how they play coverage. The question was asked of him, that off coverage that they play that so many fans get mad about. They were like, well, is that by design or what?
In which you documented in one of your cover threes.
Yeah, and the type of coverage that they play is certainly a more soft coverage, off coverage thing. But every time people ask about me, well, why is he playing so deep? I don't know. I don't know if that's them telling the players that they should play that deep or if that's, you know, the player's role or blah, blah, blah. I had not known that until this point. I just know that they play an off-coverage scheme.
Right.
Well, this morning, Mike Smith said, we play off-coverage, but, you know, the depth of how far corners
are
off,
they're giving.
Right, that's up to the players. That's not up to us. We don't tell them, you know, you have to be 6 yards off or something. And so that raises an eyebrow because then at that point, it's on Hargraves. You know, playing that far off and giving up the cushion that he does, even though it is part of the scheme, it's almost as if Hargraves is just afraid to get beat deep, and so he's giving off a ton of coverage. And you can look at it, and the way that I've kind of looked at it in the past, like we just said, I've kind of chalked it up to it being off coverage, and it's kind of, you know, it's a soft scheme, but it's only that soft on one side. Grimes is playing more aggressive. Grimes is closer to his guys. Grimes knows how to, you know, be close enough to his player to warrant no throws. Vernon does not, and that's why he gets picked on.
That's
so
interesting stuff.
Yeah, that's for all the people who have been getting on Hargraves, there's unfortunately a bit of ammunition for you there, is that he needs to play more aggressive.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't, he's going to keep getting beat. Because another thing that Mike Smith had said to note is that, hey, they've got a pretty good corner on the other side of Hargraves, you know, and a lot of the league knows how good Brent Grimes is. And because of that, they're going to look Hargraves' way more often than they're going to look Grimes's.
Right.
And if Hargraves is playing off too far, the ball's going to get thrown, whether it ends up being a catch or not, they're going to test him.
Yeah. Do you think that because Hargraves plays off so much and gives up so much cushion, that he is more susceptible or less susceptible to like a stop and go route, where because he knows that he's got to break in the ball to cover so much ground that there's a receiver, maybe it's Larry Fitzgerald this weekend, that does a stop and go, and Hargraves comes up and gets blown right by.
Yeah. Here's
I think you have to know your situation, and I think Hargraves is smart enough to know you know, do I have safety help? If I do, if I am aggressive on trying to break
again,
on that,
like the safety,
if they're
help
playing
thing,
quarters, though,
I hate yeah. how they
there's
play
not
their
be
safety.
Any help
but again, that's where he's got to, you know, he's got to know what's behind him, yeah. and he's got to judge
if there's
his
something behind him.
Right.
I don't know, like quarters coverage, you could just be dividing the field into fourths, and that means that if a guy is going down the sideline on
that's
you,
your guy.
You
right.
have to take him the whole right. time. There's no safety help, and so I kind of hate quarters, but like I know why it exists.
Quarters is basically the new version of cover two. Mm-hmm. There's yeah. so many two beaters out there, and as Lovie Smith proved so eloquently well in the 2015 season, you cannot
Wait
play cover two.
They're
you cannot play cover two down in and down out.
That right now.
No, they're not.
No,
he's getting smoked at Illinois. Oh. You can't play cover two anymore on a down in, down out basis. You can mix it in right. as a secondary yep. or, you know, a complementary type of coverage just to mix it up. You cannot go down in, down out cover two anymore. Quarters has kind of replaced that.
Unless you have, you know, Derek Brooks and Warren Sapp and John Lynch. I think that would still
and
work.
And an NFL rule change right. that allows your safeties to smack the crap out of yeah. receivers running crossing yeah. routes. Yeah.
If they could do that, then I think cover two could still be successful.
Yeah. I mean, I even talked to Warren Sapp in my latest SRS Fab 5. If you haven't had a chance to read that.
It's very
Sapp
good. You should read it.
Thank
it's
you.
Okay.
Sapp did a very good job of breaking down. Thanks to your help, Trevor.
Not
we
as
had,
good
we
as
had
the
some of those.
Bag.
We had some of those gifts in there that showed the Bucs pass rush or lack thereof against the Giants. And that's one thing Sapp said is he's like, you can't play cover two in this league anymore. And this was a guy that made his bread and butter, right. made the Hall of Fame with that cover two concept behind him. Mm-hmm. And you just can't do it anymore.
All right. So we've kind of we've put the Patriots loss to bed. It's over with now. Still frustrating because points were left on the field. We've talked about what the Buccaneers did to rectify that. Hopefully,
new kicker
Pat Murray. How much confidence do you have going into this game with Pat Murray?
Very high, because he's not Nick Folk and he's not Roberto Aguayo.
Right.
So if I'm Dirk Cutter, I've got confidence in him until he misses his first kick.
Is it better?
And then
if
I evaluate
is
that.
Is it better if you're Pat Murray starting having your first game in this situation on the road versus here at Raymond James?
I don't know that makes a difference to a kicker. I've never
Is Pat the cockiest guy you've ever met? As
yes,
far as a kicker
for a kicker,
goes?
I love it. Yeah,
you know, I remember last year, or not last year, but before he got hurt a couple years ago. I was joking around with him in the open locker room today. I said, so, I mean, you know, what's your range? He goes, I can hit from 70 yards.
Yeah.
And I laughed, and he just deadpan looked at me. He goes, I'm not kidding.
Yeah, he's a cocky little SOB.
And then
I love him.
And then I go, so, you know,
I hope he's going to get the job done.
I said, what you know, I mean, what would be a good season for you this year? He goes, I'm not going to miss any.
Yeah.
And I laughed again, and he's like, I'm not kidding.
I mean, the dude's 5'6" and wants to actually make a tackle on a kickoff.
Guess
would
you
I
fight
love
him?
That.
Guess who
would
his
you
coach
fight him?
Is? Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No. His
see,
Irish got
see,
tempers
that's
on.
That's why I'm asking.
Him. Yeah. No, I could probably take him. But
what now? The Jude IG Brema is on IR?
Kick him in his reconstructed ACL knee. I'm not playing fight. Again, you guys think I'm going to sit there in a boxing match with 10 rounds and having a judge
you're
score.
You're
going
to play dirty. You're going to sweep the leg,
fight.
Aren't you?
That's how
you're
going to
sweep the leg.
Duh.
He's going to pull the brass knucks out of his socks, you know.
I'm not going to sit here and jab and stick and move and all that. I'll dive.
Are you
going
to trash talk?
You're
just going to be right to business.
No, I'm just going to just cold cock him and drop him.
I mean, you could let him do the trash talking and then just, you know, sneak up on him.
Yeah, we'll do some trash talking.
No, he's just going to do one of those little Irish jig dances. That may throw me off, though, because I may start thinking it's like the river dance thing and start dancing with him, and next thing you know, he clocks me
that's
and
right.
takes me down.
He gives you one of those kicks.
Or he starts
right
playing
to
the flute, and I start following him right out of there, eating potatoes.
That's two flute references in one show.
Yeah, anyway, all the Irish people that are listening right now are screaming, racist. Anyway,
no, they're pumped about it.
No, me talking about potatoes and rats. Okay. And anyway, so all right, so we have confidence.
Is there an
Pat's
intro song
do
about potatoes and rats?
No, I don't think so. Do not use the Riverdance song for the intro to this podcast.
It's already a given.
I would never do that.
Do the theme to Lucky Charms, Blue Hearts, Green Clovers, whatever it is. I don't know.
That's pink hearts, yellow moons.
I don't like cereal with
blue
marshmallows.
Diamonds,
does anybody like
cereal?
Wait. I don't even have to ask this question. I guarantee you, Trevor liked cereal with marshmallows when he was a kid.
No,
a few years.
No. So
he didn't.
The,
no,
so the weird
of
thing about
he didn't grow up. He didn't grow up with Count Chocula. Blueberry,
my mom didn't even let me have most cereal.
Lucky Charms
because it was so sugary. She's like, I'm not letting you start your day eating junk food. And so I didn't even really have cereal ever as a kid.
Oh, my God.
I would eat a bowl of Lucky Charms and wash it down with the Mountain Dew.
Yeah. As a kid. I mean, I would.
And if you ran out of milk, you just use Mountain Dew.
I had that privilege.
I would just sometimes. Yeah,
privilege my ass.
You're right. Sometimes we didn't have milk. And my grandmother,
so
we would
Mountain Dew.
We would use creamer. Sometimes my grandmother kept
some half and
my
half.
Grandmother, yes, some half and half. My grandmother
you just
had
choke it down.
My grandmother
all.
Had some powdered milk. She came in, kept in the cabinet for emergencies. That she mixed with water. I would use that, or I would just eat the cereal straight out of the box. You know, like a snack. I mean, what's the difference between that and popcorn?
Pat Murray probably eats Lucky Charms with Guinness. He just pours the Guinness right in the bowl and just eats it.
Talking to Pat yesterday. You know, his. You know, he's a little bit different person. He talked about that in the story that we wrote yesterday about, you know, he's I'm a better person, I'm a better man, I'm better emotionally, spiritually, physically, mentally, all of those things. And he says, which makes me a better kicker. You know, something interesting I found out. Pat, obviously, as we were mentioning, played the Irish
flute.
Form of rugby.
Sorry.
And the flute. Sometimes at the same time, you can't tackle me. But, you know, if this show was like on the air somewhere, it would get pulled already. It would never make the air. They'd be like, we're done with you guys. But anyway, that's why we do what we want to do, because we can do whatever we want to do. So, but what Pat was saying is he, you know, his coaches, his father.
Yes.
He never played American football either.
Yep.
His coach has been he's coached him for 12 years and taught him how to kick a football, even though his dad didn't really know how to kick a football.
Here's what you need to know about Pat Murray. Last week, he got Twitter shout-outs from Danny Lansana and Akeem Spence, former Buccaneer defensive player, saying, why is my guy Pat still on the sidelines?
Mm-hmm.
And how often do you hear players, other than like the long snapper and the punter, even talk about or talk to a kicker. This is one of the guys.
Yeah,
I mean, he is one of the guys. He is a Buccaneer, not just one of the specialists or the special teamers or part of the kicking unit. He is a full-on player. They love this guy.
Kevin Pample walked in yesterday.
I wish nothing
the
better
room
for him than have success.
You know, Kevin walked in. I talked to Kevin afterwards, and I didn't really find a place to fit it in the story, so I didn't use the quote. But Kevin basically said, you know what, we came in as rookies together.
Yeah.
You know, Pat's a good dude. You know, we missed him. It was unfortunate with the injury situation, or he probably would have still been here.
Yeah.
You
no,
know,
that's
they've
the
got
thing,
a
that,
lot of confidence.
That's the thing about being a kicker is when you get hurt, they're going to cut you. Like, unless you're an elite kicker like Gostkowski or Vinatieri.
No, he
or
was probably
Kyro Santos in Kansas City.
Right.
Has
I
been
mean,
their money kicker for four years.
You can't carry two kickers into the season. You just can't do it.
And
so
speaking of Kyro Santos, don't be surprised that if Murray's on a short leash and struggles or gets hurt again, that the Buccaneers are keeping a very watchful eye on Santos, who should be recovering from that groin injury in a couple.
So every other NFL team that has any kicking struggles.
I'm just saying.
I almost would have signed the guy and stuck him on a practice squad. You know what I mean?
You can't stick him on the practice squad, but I'll tell you what. Don't you kind of cover your bases a little bit? If you're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the kicker position has screwed you so bad since Matt Bryant left, right, that you got one good year out of Connor Barth and one good year out of Pat Murray, and the rest of those years it's been Ryan Lindell and Lawrence Tynes and Kyle Brenza and Roberto Aguayo and
Lawrence
Nick Folk.
Lawrence Dawsey.
And Lawrence Dawsey.
You just mentioned like three Lawrences. That's all
that couldn't you just make the exception to the rule and say, we're going to carry another kicker who's probably as good or better than Pat Murray?
No.
And if something happens
with
Murray, he's going to be the
Anthony
guy.
Auclair tomorrow and keep two kickers.
You're playing with fire if you do that.
Nah, I'm not a big fan of the Frenchies. You know that.
All right.
You don't like Irish people apparently either.
I don't like anybody.
Okay.
Pretty much anybody, especially Gator fans.
All right, let's wrap this up.
Nice uniforms, by the way, Trevor.
The one thing we have to see from the Buccaneers to win in Arizona, and I'm going to say that Jameis Winston's going to have to be patient, and Dirk Cutter's going to have to adapt his play calling a lot earlier. What we've seen is the Buccaneers came out expecting man-to-man coverage against the Vikings. The Vikings fooled them by playing some zone. For three straight weeks, the Patriots secondary was torched in man coverage. They switched to a lot of zone against the Buccaneers. That really confused them. It showed up on third downs where the Buccaneers didn't convert one until late in the third quarter. And I wouldn't be surprised even if the Arizona Cardinals at 2-3, even though they're a man defense, switch things up because Jameis Winston has struggled with those looks and go to more of a zone scheme. And that's going to force Jameis Winston to be patient, and he's going to have to be accurate with those check down passes and throwing underneath. I know that sometimes he and Dirk, they want those explosive plays. They get a little impatient. The ball gets forced into those types of coverages. Winston had four interceptions, which was a career high last year at Arizona. And he's going to have to really, really, really be patient in this game, take what the defense gives him, and by God, I tell you, Dirk Cutter, if they're giving you zone, and Doug Martin's averaging 7.9 yards per carry, 5.7 yards per carry, whatever it is, run the ball.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it. They're going to have to do that. Just quickly before we wrap up here, anybody go back and watch the TV broadcast from Thursday night?
The TV broadcast?
Yeah.
No, I watched.
Heard Tony Romo.
Tony Romo is great.
Yeah,
oh,
he is.
Well, yeah, he's phenomenal. Yeah, he's fantastic.
I taped it. I haven't listened to it
yet.
Yeah,
it's worth it just to listen to him. I mean, he's calling plays ahead of time.
I tweeted
a
week ago.
So smart. You
I tweeted a week ago that his entire football career was just an internship for his broadcast career.
Bingo. Exactly.
He's.
And I've been bashing Phil Simms for years now. Just my least
and
favorite
rightfully
color
so.
Guy.
And rightfully
Jim, I'm not
so.
A Jim Nantz guy either. He's great if I'm watching the Masters or something like that. But I don't
or
know.
Like a tennis match,
right?
Of some
something
kind.
Like that. But anyway, I thought Tony.
Anything with a piano interlude behind him, basically.
Yeah. That's true.
You know.
Well, all right, guys.
I
got to make some money, man. I've got to find a way to make a little extra money soon.
Okay. Well,
and I know you're not
going to
give me a raise.
Bet it on the Broncos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because this is what I'm doing. And don't listen to me. I'm telling you what I'm doing. I'm not recommending to our listening audience, Pewter Nation out there, to do this. But what I'm saying is I'm going to mybookie.ag, and I am going to put the mortgage on the Denver Broncos, who I know – that they have, you know, a lot of points, 11.5, right?
Currently, it stands around.
All right, so they're playing the Giants.
Yes,
I think it is
the wide receiverless Giants.
Is it the running backless Giants?
Correct.
The second cornerbackless Giants.
Eli
the
Manning,
linebackerless Giants.
Eli Manning and the Miracles.
The competent offensive lineless Giants.
And I'm going to go all in on the Broncos. I'm going to say that they're going to score
cover
at least 12 points against the hapless Giants, who are 0-5 for a reason.
You think the Giants won't score any points?
Well, they might score a field goal, but I still think that the Broncos are going to score more than 14 points to make that come true. But listen, that's what I'm doing. If you want to get in on the action, whether it's college football, pro football, whatever, go to mybookie.ag. They sponsor this podcast every week. And if you think you know who's going to win, put your money where your mouth is. The fastest payouts in the business, they're going to get your money to you within 2 days. And if you mention PewterReport.com's Pewter Nation podcast and use the code word Pewter, they're going to double your initial deposit. So if you put $25 down for your very first deposit, they're going to give you another $25.
I put $100,000 and I got $200 in my account.
That's exactly what will happen. They will match you.
Took 1 month of my salary.
They will match you. Oh, yeah.
No? Okay.
They will match you dollar for dollar for your first deposit. So that to me is well worth it. Go to mybookie.ag. You know, fantasy football is one thing, but you know, if you really, really want to get on some gaming action, mybookie.ag is where the action's at. Again, mention the code word Pewter, and they will double your deposit.
Great thing about that, too, compared to some of the other sites is, you know, you're just betting on the team, the actual team. You're not having to pick a guy from here and a guy here and having all this salary cap rule and all this crap and ended up with a bad defense because you were $500 short on your buy-in on as far as your players go. You just pick the teams. If you feel you've got confidence, like Scott, which is I'm going to try and talk him out of this. He just said he's going to bet the mortgage.
Yep.
No, you're not. You're going to bet the car payment. We're not going to bet the mortgage.
Go Broncos this
all right.
week.
Well,
that's
Broncos,
all I'm saying.
You better cover. Scott's going to be
and
upset
listen, you
and possibly homeless.
You can also do some in-game betting, too. You can bet first quarter, halftime scores. There's a lot of different ways that you can get in on some of the gaming and the action and the fun at mybookie.ag.
All right, make sure to keep it tuned to PewterReport.com for all the latest news. We've got more stories coming up today. Today is Wednesday. Bucks are wrapping up practice as we tape this right now. We'll have Dirk Cutter. We'll have some response from Dirk. We'll have the injury report each day up until Friday. Scott's SRS Fab 5 comes out on Friday. Make sure to check out Trevor's Cover 3. great breakdown of Doug Martin's first game back, and also rookie safety Justin Evans, who, by the way, I mentioned him in the locker room. I talked to him last week. I think I mentioned this in the last podcast, or maybe I didn't, but joking with him about, you know, possibly playing in this game against Tom Brady, and does it stress him out? And he's like, no, it's just football. I've been playing football my whole life. What does he do? He goes on and get an interception against the Hall of Famer. And yep, he did. I talked to him yesterday. He goes, you know what? Yeah, when I'm, you know, 10 years from now, when I'm retired, he says, that's definitely something I'll tell the grandkids about. So, anyway, and then the Scott's SRS Fab Five comes out on Friday. The Fifth Down comes out on Friday. Our Pewter predictions come out Friday. More stuff that you can possibly read, but keep coming to PewterReport.com daily for multiple updates on the latest Buccaneer news. I am Mark Cook for Scott Reynolds and Trevor Sikkema, and we will see you after the game on Sunday. Bucks and Arizona, 4 o'clock. We'll talk to you then.